so many different levels. In Governor Cuomo's State of the State address, he said that he plans to take on the title of student lobbyist in New York State. I really can't think of a better place for him to start lobbying than in our urban district here in Rochester. Sometimes when adults are making decisions in the interest of students, they forget to invite students. So I guess you could call this the State of the Students Address. In my role as student leader, I have always tried to focus on what is working and the positives in our district. But we all know that there are many issues that are not so positive. I believe there is a critical element when strategies and initiatives are being formed to address these issues. The missing piece is the student participation and input in the planning stage. And so, Governor Cuomo and district leaders, in this new year, I will be advocating for more students that reflect the makeup of our district to be given a real voice in the making of policies and the outcome of decisions made to improve our student achievement and school environment. My goal and purpose is to communicate to the biggest stakeholders, the students. We have to accept our own responsibility, and we should all be accountable for each other's success. We have the power to dictate the culture and learning environments in our school. We can push and motivate and question each other. We can learn so much from each other. Sure, we can help each other learn other academic subjects, but we can also learn things like persistence, dedication, compassion, and thoughtfulness from each other. For example, the persistence it takes to come to school every day, but when you do show up, you are accountable to seek the support that is needed for success. I would like students to challenge themselves and set our expectations high, to push for the A when you have the C, because the push for the A might get you the B and eventually even the A. We cannot do this alone. So we need to advocate for ourselves and each other. We have great teachers and administrators and a caring community surrounding us. It is up to us to utilize everyone around us to reach the goal for graduation. For those of you not familiar with Student Leadership Congress, or SLC, we are a resource. We are a diverse cross-section of Rochester City School District students from grades 6 to 12 who attend the many different schools in our district, and we are always open to new members. I would love for our governor to know what students have been able to accomplish, such as providing help with literacy and mentoring in some of the high-needs elementary schools, assisting in food pantries, toy drives, and city missions. We have also shot several public service announcements on diversity, truancy, and the consequences of skipping school, bullying, and we are in the works on a PSA, public service announcement, that will showcase the positives of attending the Rochester City Schools. One of the things I feel Student Leadership Congress has done is it has brought the classroom back to the administration at central office. I feel it is so important that our administrators keep in close contact with students, and they are, and have the opportunity to connect with both individual and groups of kids regularly. The students have arranged for administrators and board members to attend meetings so that they can inform us on the many changes, initiatives, and needs occurring in the district. Therefore, Governor Cuomo, I'm inviting you to Rochester to sit in with a group of 40 motivated students that are a part of Student Leadership Congress, an organization that I am the president of. So please come and listen to our ideas and know that there are many students willing to do the necessary work and support each other in order to have a meaningful improvement in our city school district. Thank you. Now, if I could have our board president, Mr. Evans, come up. He's going to say a few words as well, so thank you.
All right, we're done. We can go home now. Sophie said it all. Let's give our student rep, Sophie Gallivan, another round of applause. Also, just let me recognize the great student performers. I'm going to read their names out again, and let's give them another hearty round of applause. Caleb Chittapong, Dalton Cooper, Sophie Galvin, Iya Kim, Hannah Kruger, Asad Muhammad, Bailey Olean, Lily Suda, Martine Thomas, in the Joseph C. Wilson Music Department. Give them another round of applause, please. I always insist that whenever we do our State of the Schools address that we always start with the students, because it is a great reminder to us as to why we are here. Us on the Board of Education, we have our jobs because of students. If students weren't here in our schools, none of us would be here. So we are very grateful when we can see our students perform and highlight the positive things that they do in our community. So thank you, students. It's great to have all of you here. I want to just recognize some of our partners in government and community that are here. Our Board of Education members are here. Commissioner Cynthia Elliott is here down front. Commissioner Elliott? Yeah, sure. Commissioner Jose Cruz is here. Commissioner Cruz? Commissioner Mary Adams is here. Commissioner Adams? Commissioner Melissa Campos is in the back. Commissioner Campos. She's holding some future Wilson High graduates. And Commissioner Willa Powell is here. Commissioner Powell. And I believe Commissioner White is on his way. I want to thank our Deputy Mayor for being here. Deputy Mayor Reedon, thank you so much for coming, Deputy Mayor. Our outstanding police chief, we still hold on to him like he's one of our own, but Chief Jim Shepherd. Chief Shepherd, thank you for being here. Our county legislator from the 25th district, Mr. John Lightfoot. Mr. Lightfoot, thank you so much for being here. Regent Emeritus, I call him part of my brain trust. Dr. Walter Cooper is here. Dr. Cooper. I want to thank Kate LaChant from Congresswoman Slaughter's office for being here. And I also think I saw great partners with the Rochester City School District, Dr. Ann Kress and Dr. Peter Otero. I believe I saw them. I want to thank them for also being here. And also Peter Carpino from the United Way. Pete, thank you for being here. And Dave Fiedler from ESL, thank you so much for also being here. It's fitting for us to be standing here at Wilson Magnet High School. I graduated from this school, and we've had many great graduates from our community come through Wilson High School. Judge Steve Miller, Lovely Warren, President of the City Council, Jackie Ortiz, our board clerk, Shanae Lee. I can go on and on of individuals that have graduated from our city schools and are making great contributions in our community. And I say that because it tells us that our glass is half full. And it's important that we understand that with strong community support, our students can rise and continue to serve our community and be contributing members of society. I want to talk briefly about the board priorities that we've had for this past year around academic achievement, school safety and environment, performance management, fiscal oversight and accountability, and customer service. Obviously, we understand that we are in the business of educating our kids, and academic achievement has to be number one on all of our radar screens. And if we don't have a graduation rate of 100%, we know that our city cannot be able to move forward and that we will not be able to attract families to stay in the city. So the board has made and will continue to make academic achievement a major priority for the year 2012, to continue to push for programs that will increase our graduation rate, but more importantly than increasing our graduation rate, increasing our college readiness rate. That is an area where we know we have fallen down. And I'm always happy to trumpet the success, but I'm also able to recognize the areas where we have the greatest need for improvement. And increasing our college readiness rate, which is abysmal right now, is something that must continue to be a priority of the board, and it will be as we go into the year 2012. School safety and environment. Our parents send our students to school every day, and they tell us one thing: my baby better be back home the same way that they came there. So we have made school safety and environment a major priority for our schools, and it will continue to be as we go into 2012. School safety has to be paramount. We understand that we cannot control what happens outside of the walls, outside of the walls of our school. But when they belong to us, we have an obligation to ensure that our schools are safe learning environments where our students can prosper and be productive members of society. Performance management, an issue that we have heard so much about just this past week, with the governor talking about our evaluation system, the new teacher evaluation system. We have made this a paramount opportunity for us in the Rochester City School District. We are the first district in New York State to negotiate an evaluation system as part of our contract. And obviously, if we don't have a strong performance management system in place, we will not succeed academically. So this is something that will continue to be a strong priority as we go into 2012. Fiscal oversight and accountability. Ladies and gentlemen, if our books aren't balanced, if we don't have the funds in the kitty, we won't be able to perform any of the basic functions that we said. So fiscal oversight and accountability has been and will continue to be a major priority as we move into 2012 for the Rochester Board of Education. We have already started working on our budget for the 2012-2013 school year. I'm sure the superintendent will touch on this, but if you have not given your feedback, go to rcsdk12.org and talk about what it is you want to see in our upcoming budget. But more importantly, when we take an oath as Board of Education members, we raise our hand ensuring that our books are balanced and that we are spending our tax dollars wisely. And lastly, customer service. Our customers are our parents and our students and our larger community. But we need to make sure that we have the basics down, that if a parent calls central office, that phone is picked up within three rings, that if someone calls a department in the Rochester City School District, that their calls are returned within 24 hours, that when someone goes to our placement office, that it is inviting and opening, and that they feel as though it's a place, that the district is a place where they want to be able to send their children. Customer service has to be and will continue to be a major priority in 2012 if we are going to retain families and at the same time improve student learning and student outcomes. Customer service has to be our top priority in 2012. We've also understood that in terms of our schools, we wanted to make sure that we had a menu of schools, that our students have options, that we wanted to be able to make sure that they will be able to have opportunities around science and technology, college preparation, vocational leadership, and enrichment and support. So I would urge all of you that are thinking about high schools to go visit some of our newer schools, such as the Integrated Arts and Technology High School, or the Vanguard Collegiate Academy, or the STEM High School, or also the Robert Brown High School in Construction and Design, where the students have built a house that will one day be on the market. So I can go on and on about the culinary and hospitality program at East High School, the firefighters program at East High School, the Teaching and Learning Institute over at East High School. We have created a menu of choices for our students to choose from that will not only prepare them for college if they decide to do that, but also for the world of work if they choose to go to work directly after graduating from high school. Lastly, Our promise to you is that we will continue to work on recruiting and organizing parent and community support. We will be foolhardy if we think that we can accomplish our goals without connecting with the larger community. Develop parent and community leaders. We want to create demand parents. We want the Board of Education's lines to be lit up with not just complaints, but ideas on things that we can do to get better. We get better as a system when we have parents leaning on us, forcing us, telling us that they expect us to do our jobs. We want to continue to design effective forms of communications. The state of our schools is just one form and venue that we have for this, but we've also have our reach out events where we're opening up the doors to the larger community to come and see all of central offices, departments, and connect with the Board of Education to tell us what it is you would like to see in our schools, what we can do to improve. And lastly, identify and integrate community resources and services. I mentioned earlier some of our community partners that we rely on to help us do that, but this is not a one-shot deal in which the Rochester City School District can operate on an island and do this alone. We have to really make sure that we continue to collaborate and connect with the larger community to boost academic achievement so that way we can continue all of the things that I mentioned at the start of my comments and that were on the first slide. As we know, we are going through a transition. We have gone through a transition in leadership, and we are currently underway with our search for a permanent superintendent that we hope to have a permanent person named by before the end of the school year, and that process has been a robust process with a committee of 22 community leaders. So overall, ladies and gentlemen, the state of our schools, I believe, are strong, but it can get even stronger by having the support of individuals like you that are here and those of you that are at home watching on TV. So I want to thank all of you in the community for all the work that you have done to help us improve the Rochester City School District and the work that you will continue to do to help us become the best school district in the country. With that, I want to bring up my friend, our interim superintendent of schools, Dr. Bohan Vargas, who has been on the job for less than a year but has been working at a breakneck place to help us reach the goals that I mentioned. So, Dr. Vargas.
Thank you, President Evans. I appreciate the chance tonight to have a conversation about expectation. Your expectation of me as your superintendent, my expectation for the district, and most important, how we as a community need to set high expectations for our children and give them the support that they need to achieve. Before we begin, again, I would like to thank President Evans for making tonight possible, and many other who have contributed for us to be here tonight. I thank the entire Board of Education for the opportunity that you have given me to serve you and serve this district. Sophie, I appreciate your remarks. It's quite on target. I hope Governor Cuomo was listening. Actually, that would be nice. I know he's a very busy person, Sophie, so don't be disappointed. I would like to thank the faculty and teachers who worked tireless every day on behalf of our children. I thank everyone in the audience, as Mr. Evans already have gone through, and thanks all of you. So thank you for each one of you for being here tonight. And we hope we won't disappoint you. I know that tonight is Obama night, and I'm just warming up for him. And I'm sure he appreciates that. So I would like to offer my special appreciation to teachers and staff members, from custodian to the support staff, to the nurses, to the administrator, to people in central office, to the bus driver, to all who work for this district and each day get out in the morning to do our best for our children. Let me just recite this point, which I used when I began my conversation with the staff when this school year began. Life's greatest gift is the opportunity to throw oneself into a jar that puts meaning and hope into the lives of other people. Seizing this opportunity is the surest way to put meaning and hope to one's own life. That summarizes my view. I believe that there is no more important work than educating our children. It is a gift that I take on. It is a gift to take on in this awesome responsibility. I have said it before, and I will say it tonight. The Rochester City School District has the ultimate responsibility for educating our children, but we cannot do it alone. We need your help. We need all your help students, family, and from the entire community. To explain the state of our schools, I'm going to cover three topics tonight. First, the priority I have set as your interim superintendent and how we intend to achieve them. Second, the role we all play in helping children to meet high expectations. Third, what our school and our children can achieve with support from all of us. It is important to remember that it is our children that bring us here tonight, as Sophie reminds us, President Evans. They are our future, the future of our city. Actually, we argue that this city cannot be successful unless the Rochester City School District becomes a successful district. And we are being successful in many ways, but we need much work to do. With that in mind, let me provide a profile of the children we are educating. There are over 32,500 students in the Rochester City School District. 64% of them are African American, 22% are Latino, and 11% are white. The other are Asian and from other background. About one-fifth of them have a special need. And in our school, or many of our children, they are representative of the world. In where they're at home, at their home, over 90 languages are spoken. In this number, what we see is an opportunity to celebrate diversity and create a vibrant school system, a vibrant community. Educating this diverse group is a major undertaking. The district provides more than 150,000 hours of instruction each day. We serve about 36,000 meals. The work is accomplished by 3,300 teachers and 2,200 support staff. I do not want to dwell on the slides, but we have a very big job to do. Gotta drink a little water. When I became your interim superintendent about, I don't remember, over 7 months ago, at least 244 days to be precise, and you might also be reminded that you, I'm earning my money. I had taken one day off. And when I say this is a big job, indeed it is. And people in central office will tell you, and in the classroom and everywhere, we're working very hard each day to make sure that we meet our challenge. So as a reminder, when I came in, we were big talk about the budget challenge. The talk was around the $75 million shortfall or gap that we were experiencing. Hundreds of layoffs were part of the discussion. Relation between different groups, there was some tension. I don't need to remind you. But I, as a result, I decided that it was imperative that we, my work and the work with the district will be around three areas. One, student achievement is the most important task before us. Second, better allocation of resources. And third, communication. We also must do better in involving parents and community. Our children need caring, responsible adults to watch over them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I will be clear about what we are not doing. We are not throwing out plans to redesign our portfolio school. We are facing in new schools and phasing out low-performance school, not replacing the Rochester curriculum, not rewriting the strategic plan. The district has 7 new strategic plans over the past 20 years. We cannot spend years discussing all of this, but our children cannot wait. All of us know what we need to be done. We just need to do it. Real educational reform is a matter of execution with input and support from the entire community. I call it implementation with fidelity. It is not your plan that will get you there, but how we implement what we say we need to do for our students and for the people who work in this district and for our community. Our first priority, student achievement. As you can see from the slides, these are the measures we assess. None of these results are acceptable to us. Less than a third of our young students are meeting state standards. Barely half of our high school students graduate in 4 years. And as President Evans said, the graduation readiness, the preparation of our students to enter college is dismal, and it's unacceptable to us, and we will change it. I will not take your time to explain or apologize for these numbers. Poverty is increasing, standards are changing, and budget are declining. These are simple hard facts, and we must deal with it. There are no excuses for lack of success for our students. Simple put, our students are not achieving their potential. We must help them to do better for the sake of our community and for the sake of their lives. We are taking many steps to improve student achievement. They are based on 3 driving factors of success: increased time on task, improved performance of school, and make central office more responsible, more accountable for student achievement. How do we improve time on task? Very simple. Right now, the school calendar is too short. Number 2, the school day is too short for too many of our students. Many of you know, when you drive around our school, that around 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, many of our students are going home. I think we can do better than that. Not only we can, we will, if we want to achieve the result that we need to achieve on behalf of our community and on behalf of our students. We are increasing instructional time. We are using Title I funding. For the first time, I asked our school principal to give us a central office what ideas they have to improve the learning time or the time that our children are spending in our school. And I want to congratulate each one of our principals because the proposals were very, very on target. I have one school, for example, that requested to us 4 weeks of instruction during the summer. And by the way, with the same teacher, this was not to hire a summer teacher. This was to provide high-quality instruction to our kids so that they can meet the challenges that we have and that we must help them meet. We have increased online learning. In the 21st century, as you know, we are very fortunate that today learning is not limited to just the classroom wall. Finally, let me be honest about the school calendar. If we expect our children to be successful in a global economy, many of them need more time in school. In recognition of that, I am pleased to make an announcement tonight. I had a conversation with the RTA, The union is willing and ready to enter into discussion to offer, expand the learning time for our students in school. The ITA and the leadership and teachers recognize that you cannot do the job that we're asking them to do in 180 days. And for that, I thank them. They also recognize that not all our children might need extended day, that a good place to begin an extended calendar would be with the most needy student, the one that needs help the most. And they are willing to enter, and I would be asking for a school that want to, early on, not in the middle of the school year like I asked them this year, to put proposal forward to advance ways in which we can support extending the school calendar and the school day. And we will do everything we can to fund those opportunities and those programs for our students. This will be a pilot, and if it's successful, we can replicate it. I applaud the leadership again of the teacher union for being willing to work with me on this task, and I will be updating the Board of Education from time to time as we make progress on this area. I also want to let you know that there are some foundations that are willing to support us on this task. I've been in conversation with members from the Ford Foundation who I very much understand that if you take a child who come behind to school, who need a lot of support, that child might need more extra time and extra support and effort in the part of all of us than the child, for example, who come from a typical middle-class family with more support than, let's say, the child who is not fortunate enough, for example, to be ready when they enter kindergarten for all kinds of reasons, which many of you are familiar. Let me speak to a serious problem that we have in this district around student achievement. Inside the district is known as the phase-out school. We have right now over 3,000 children that are in this type of school. That means that we have announced to the family, we have announced to the staff, and we have announced to the student that we are closing those schools. The challenge in here is that too many of the children in this school are not coming to school regularly. Actually, those schools have the poorest attendance. They also have the lowest graduation rate, and students are the most disengaged. This is a very challenging task for us because many of the students are giving up on us. It is urgent on my part and on your part to respond to their needs. So I will be proposing an alternative school program to turn things around for these students. We are considering flexible schedule that will meet their needs, perhaps from 7 in the morning to 7 at night, so that if a child who is working, or a youngster, I should say, who is working, we have an opportunity to come to work and take some classes. We also are going to try to engage those students, for example, that are what we call overage and under credits. What that means is that they might be a youngster who is 19 years old, who only have 5 credits, but need 22 to graduate, and only have 2 years left for schooling. We are going to be realistic with each one of our children, and we are going to create a program that is designed to meet each one of these children's need. We will support the social and emotional need of every student, not just in this situation, but throughout the district. Working with our union, we will come out with an evaluation system that concentrates on performance. Let me talk a little bit about this, because this is important, because you have been reading in the news, for example, that the governor have mentioned that it's imperative for district and union to come together with a new evaluation system. In the Rochester City School District, we have come up with an agreement that we are working closely with the State Education Department to make sure that our new evaluation system for teachers and principals meet the state guideline. As you know, this is very controversial. But here in Rochester, we do believe that we must improve the evaluation system for principal and teacher and for everyone who works in this district. And I appreciate and thank each one of the bargaining unit, particularly the principal and the ITA, who have been working with the administration to come out with an evaluation system that is fair and one that is aiming and improving teaching and learning. Let me talk for a few minutes about central office. I know that central office is an area where many of you in the community always talk about, particularly in budget time. It seems to me that during budget time, people say, why don't you cut central office? And let me tell you that important work is done in central office, but we must be accountable for the result in our school. And we also must be more responsive to the public and to our school. I recognize that central office must engage and be more accountable for student achievement. We don't just collect data. We must take action on time when we see challenges before us. We are in the process of creating student improvement zone to engage the community and yet including the students to make sure that when we see school that need help, we don't wait for the state of New York or for the federal government to tell us. Actually, if we become a listening organization as we should be and ought to be, we will be able to listen to our students, our families, and teachers and others and respond to it. And as a central office, I tell you that we must and we will. Student achievement will be a metric of performance in evaluating central office and administrator, not just teacher. Let me talk to you for a few minutes about something that is familiar to you. As a member of this community, you know that for too long we talk about student failure, particularly the graduation rate. We talk about the children that drop out each year. We are not good as a district and as a community on prevention. We are good about talking about and discussing what these issues are, and also we do try to intervene. But sometimes the intervention comes too late. Teachers, educators will tell you that by third grade, you pretty much, with great certainty, could tell us who are the children that may I drop out of high school. If a children has challenging reading by third grade, it is very likely that he or she will have challenge as he or she continue throughout the school experience. So what will we do? We can no longer talk about those challenges. We can no longer talk about that the reading level of our kid is too low at the elementary level. I will be proposing, and we are creating, what we call a warning system, so that we will know through data and through knowledge that we have who are our children that need the most help and the most intervention, and make sure that they get the intervention that they need. So that when I come before the Board of Education with a proposal, or your future superintendent, it will be basic on data. It won't be basic on just what we think is good for kids, but what we know, basic knowledge, what we need to accomplish, and what kind of targets and intervention we need. For example, Anne Kress, who is here tonight, she's leading an incredible effort to engage the community. And I thank you for asking me a very important question, because the president of Monroe Community College normally has a lot of things to do. But I thank Dr. Kress for taking the time and asking me an important question on behalf of the STRIPE initiative. And that is, what does the district need from the community? And I gave her a couple of things. But I said to her, I just want one thing. Can we engage this community to make sure that by third grade, all our children are reading on grade level? I appreciate the passion of Monroe Community College leadership and other United Way community service organizations like the Red Cross, ABC, Urban League, Ibero. There are too many to mention here tonight. But I could tell you that this community is blessed because many of you want to help. The challenge before us is how we are going to come together around few things that will make a difference for our children, our family, and our community. And I, again, the best example that I have here tonight to share with you is this fascinating question, one that I'm sure have been asked before, but I think it's an important one, and I ask each one in this community to concentrate on that task. I'm asking each one of us to pay attention to few things that we can do for our children, and I'll be asking of you tonight. Sometimes our children don't need as much as you might think they need. Yes, it would take effort on our part, but sometimes it's simple thing like encouraging them to read and making sure that we know that we ask them what they need. So let me now turn to the second priority, which is the efficient allocation of resources. Now, this community is used to talk about budget. When I came in last May, a colleague of mine asked me, now that they gave you a job, what are you going to do? I said, well, from looking at the problem, I'm going to submit my resignation. Because the problem was big. I must confess to you that I got a call from UPenn, and they told me you were in the Wall Street Journal. They're saying that you have over 900 teachers, staff that am I going to be laid off. They use the word FTE, and I had to explain what FTE is. That's full-time position. But let me tell you that the Board of Education and the leadership of the school district, including the union, we did the best we could, and we were able to overcome that challenge. And when we opened our school in September, for the most part, they were ready to receive our students. And we are on the way each day doing the very best we can, even though during this budgetary challenge. So what I said to the Board of Education, particularly in my weekly meeting with President Evans and Vice President Cruz, I said, next year, we are not going to find ourselves in the same situation that we were this past year. And we came up with a plan to address our projected budget gap of $41 million. So our plan included, we did put aside $20 million of our reserve fund. So magic, our gap was cut to 21. So we projected that we could get $10 million from the state. And I'm ready to report to you tonight that the governor's proposed budget is around $10 million for us. So we are on track, and we are going to cut around $11 million through efficiency in our system. And so this is how we plan to close our gap. We are on our way there, and I promise to you that we are going to do everything we can to make sure that this problem is addressed. We are having major impact in our students and the people who work in our district. It is important for us to remember this. This is something that I have talked before, particularly during the difficult time when we asked that we were needed to close the school number 6. No one liked to make those type of proposal, but nevertheless, we had to have this difficult conversation. Our student enrollment is declining. As you can see, over 5,000 students over the last 10 years or so. Yes, at the same time, our facility footprint is increasing, so we need to make in the near future some serious adjustment to this. Next, please. So we are fortunate that the state of New York, 7 years ago, way before I arrived here, have passed a plan to help the district modernize all our building. And it's what we call it the FMP, the Facility Modernization Plan. And we are in the way. President Evans and others are going to be very happy because they've been working with this for a very long time. We are in the way to begin this modernization project, which at the end of the days, we are hoping to have better space and equipment for learning. Our new facility will be more efficient, which will lower our utility bills and our operating costs. You might think, and many of you know about your own utility bill, but the Rochester City School District has spent about $10 million on gas and electricity. So we hope to be able to control our costs in that area. Fortunately, funds to make renovation have already been set aside by the state, as I mentioned to you. The Board of Education also have agreed to make sure that we spend around $39 million for the local share, which you have heard a lot of conversation. But what is important for you to know is that we are looking and improving our facility at the same time that we are trying to meet our fiscal challenge. So we are, you might ask yourself this question. If you have a significant budget gap and budget challenge, why are you spending so much money on facility? A very important question. But the answer is it's an important question, but deserves an answer. The answer is, regardlessly of the fiscal situation, we're going to need facility for the 21st century to educate our students. We also know how the state formula works. It's not like the Board of Education had $300 million and can manage this money the way we want. The way it works is that the state have considered us to improve our facility, and they are willing to support us and are helping us in accomplishing that task. So instead of arguing around this project, we must focus our available resources on programs that directly serve students. Here's how we are doing it. We are freezing the growing central office staff and eliminating some position. Deploying central office staff to substitute And it is very important because I believe central office must be close to the classroom in order for us to do the work that we need to do. I also want to thank the central office member for the attendance initiative, which I will talk to you in a few minutes. They have gone door to door looking for our students. And as a result, I believe that we can do our work better and we have better insight about our challenge. We are also taking our fiduciary responsibility seriously, as President Evans suggested to you. We are auditing our healthcare program to make sure that we operate our healthcare programs in the most efficient way. And we are getting help from a third party who can assist us with the expertise that we need to make improvement. We are replacing, Again, I have presented to you a lot of information. Let me summarize. As I mentioned to you about the normal discussion during budget time is what programs are going to be left in the district. Families last year, Board of Education, when my first day in the job, through my email, I should say not my first day, when my email went into effect, I received over 300 emails in less than 24 hours. Many of the board members know what I'm talking about. Some of the talk was about what is this district going to look like in terms of programs and services for kids. So I remember many families who had the means to move away saying, if I cannot get art or music or this type of service for my kid, I'm moving out. Let me rest assured to every family in this district that we are replacing mobility with fiscal stability. We will get the district finance under control this year. The student will always be our priority in every decision about our budget and resources. That is why, that even during difficult time, as often we tell you, if I listen to students, they tell me for the most part that they want four things. They want more arts and music. They want more extracurricular activity. They want sport. They want better food in our school. And in one conversation with a group of students, they also, one kid with a soft voice said to me, I want more homework. And the other student, this is a true story, the other student looked at this guy, what are you saying? You want more homework. So needless to say, to the students, Sophie, rest assured that when we passed this budget, when I presented this budget to the school board, the student priority will be present. I believe that the budget is a statement of our values and it's a statement of our priority. We are going to end the annual budget drama that will cause uncertainty for principal, for teacher, for family. And I want them to spend the summer time getting ready for the next school year, not wondering whether where they will be placed. I want family to know what classes their children are going to have. And yes, I want them to be reading with our kids during the summer, not worrying about the kind of programs that we are available for their children. Now I will talk to you about the third priority. I don't need to talk to you about the kind of communication that was taking place in our district. We are not where we need to be, but we are making some significant progress around communication. We are communicating better with our bargaining unit. We are communicating better with one another. And I will say that each day I continue to be proud with how central office is responding to the needs of families and students in our district. Some may I ask, and they did, when I raised the question of communication, why are you raising communication as a top priority when you have so many issues? I say, but communication is not just about talking to one another. Communication is how we relate with one another. Communication is the key to what we do each day. And I say, I'm not talking about producing more newsletter. I'm not talking about more press release or press conferences. I'm talking about how can we make the entire district experience better for families, for students and employers who come to work daily, for the family who trust us daily with their children. What kind of experience do we give them? And I say, look, I would like to give the same experience that we experience when we go into Wegmans. Doesn't matter who you will ask a question, you always get a response immediately. Our district is moving to be like Wegmans for our families and also for our students and for the people who work with us. We have a long way to go, but we can do it. Interacting with the district should be easy. When you register your child, should not be as difficult as it was last year. And actually, rest assured that we are going to make the experience of registering your children in the Rochester City School District much easier, much simpler, and much friendly. And we're going to act like we need you, which we do. Again, let me summarize this. This community is fortunate. This district is fortunate. Let me thank Wegmans Food Market, because when they heard me saying this, they said, we're going to help you. And they have been there for me to do a better job as a district with our families and for the people who interact with us daily. Improving family experiences start, and as I say, start with placement. Anyone will tell you that that's the first experience that our family have. Beginning this month, we are inviting family to drop their application in multiple locations. Last year, you only could drop it at one location, one which was difficult to find even the address. And when I arrived, I said, we must do better. And I want to thank the mayor for changing the address of that building. That is cooperation, my friend. It is no blaming one another. That is me sitting with City Hall and asking for help, and the mayor responding to my request. And I speak a little emotionally to this because I receive hundreds and hundreds of emails. And let me remind you that that's what I said, that a strategic plan will not take us where we need to do. What will take us there is us, common sense, working together each day to improve the lives of our students. I don't need to tell you that education matters. And I don't need to tell you that while we are facing so many challenges that our students do, that we also have a lot of control of what we can do for our family, our students. The placement center is an example or something that we have control, that the student don't control, the family don't control, but we do. And it is my expectation and my hope that this district will turn itself around by focusing in what we can do daily to improve student achievement and also the experience of families. So, here we are tonight. And let me just mention to you all the steps that we are taking to improve communication. Our staff are now responding within 48 hours. If you send us an email or make us a phone call or stop by, we will give you a response within 48 hours. And if it will take longer, we will apologize if there are legitimate reasons why we couldn't. We are improving our Parents Connect, actually asking every social service agency and churches and others to make sure that families who have internet are signed up for the Parent Connect, and also to make your computer and your online services for parents to review the report card online if it's all possible. Finally, I'm working to be more accessible myself. As Sophie will tell you, I travel to many of our schools. I go around this community, and I also go to anywhere where I'm invited to talk about education. However, it is not the most important thing for the superintendent to do, to be visible. It is an important thing, but the most important thing is for a superintendent to get the district to connect with the community, for central office to connect with the community, for everyone who worked for us to understand and appreciate that we must connect with our stakeholders. The goal is simple: to put out more information. It is to communicate clearly and honestly about district situation, what going right, what needs to improve, and what we are doing about. Throughout this changing, interacting with the school system, we become a more positive experience for employers, students, parents, and community. We will be communicating more openly, we will track student achievement more effectively, and we will make ourselves more accountable for result. The district is responsible for doing everything possible to help the students succeed. But our children cannot achieve their best without more help. Education of our children is everyone's job. We must surround them with support everywhere. The parents, grandparents, and other adults who look at our children at home are essential. You are educated just as important as the teachers in your child's classroom. Let me talk for a minute about my passion, reading, and what I hope to become the passion of this community. It is my hope, just like we did this past holiday break, that we set an expectation for our children not to read just in school, but to understand that reading takes place at home, at school, in our library, and actually everywhere. When you're waiting for the school bus, that would be my dream, that one day when we look at the when we take the bus, or we see children waiting for the bus, that they have a book with them. So, as you know, we started to promote reading during the school break, and we hope to continue this because I don't believe that we can do the job that we need to do, that we've been asking to do, unless we engage our students on reading, not just in school, but outside the school. I understand, and you do, that government must provide more funding and that would be helpful. I understand, as you do, that we are fortunate with the collaboration that we can count on this community, as I mentioned, from colleges and university. I understand, as you do, that we have a lot of agency and churches and individuals who are willing to help. At the end of the day, we're going to have to be smarter to make sure that our children are engaged on reading and all the positive activity in their neighborhood, in the recreation center, in their way to school, at the school, during school. I asked last year, for example, to the Hillside Scholarship Program, Patty Mangieri, I asked, I want one thing only this summer. Make sure that every child in your program read a book this summer. And I'm asking every agency to make sure that it's part of the conversation with your students that you serve. I thank you for serving our students. I know that you're doing incredible work. At the end of the day, it is the education that we can give our children that we lift them up. It is the education that we can give them that we make this community the community that can be a great community. And when I say can be great, doesn't mean that we are not already great, but we can be better. We could be the community of choice where people no longer will be questioning whether this is a great place to learn, but that would be unquestionable, that reading and learning would be contagious throughout the city. So let me report to you that as a result of the Rock Read Initiative, over 6,000 students read this past winter break. This was possible because of partnership from the community, an organization, and business like Wegmans. There are too many of you to thank, but you know who they are, and I'm asking most of you to join the district on this effort. If it only a few of the 6,000 students continue to read and read at the school and continue to be engaged, I do believe that that is success, because that's something that we can continue to build on. And we will continue to do whatever we can to make sure that we provide children with the support that they need to be good readers. And I believe that this community have all the resources that we need to do so. There are other ways in which we can help our students. Business can adopt the school, allow employees to volunteer, and offer internship during the summer for summer job. Our organization can do the same, perhaps helping the school to put a play. Churches can sponsor reading club and talk to children about the importance of education. And actually, I'm asking every organization to make sure that our families read the report card of their children at least 4 times during this school year, and to intervene and ask for help when help is needed. I must thank the Democratic and Chronicle for the emphasis that they have put on this. That actually, you can go onto their webpage and see what our principal and teachers are asking, and see what kind of help you can lend to our school. You also could call us at 262-8133, and we will respond and tell you more or less what we need. There is another way in which we must help our children. Everyone must set high expectations for our students' performance in school. High expectation, you might ask, what does that mean? This is very important. Our children will achieve accordingly to our expectation and the support that we give them. But the expectation cannot be just the expectation of the superintendent or the school board or the teacher or just the expectation of community or parent. It has to be the expectation of all of us. Concentrating on our priority with support from the community is changing our direction. I would like to speak now about the longer-term future of our district and where I see this priority taking us down this road. If we work together, I believe we can have a district that makes our community proud. We can have a school that are more attractive than the street. Places where children feel excited to go and proud of what they can achieve. Every school can offer a modern facility with rich programs that includes art, music, and athletic for every child. That's why I believe, by the way, on the arts and the music, and even during difficult times, I think that we should make sure that our children have art and music and sport and other programs to make sure that they are engaged. This is the best way to engage our children. Parents can take pride in the school where they are able to choose for their children, where their needs of their child and our district will be provided. An education to challenge and to excite them, we will make every child ready for college or a good job. We have a new school today that are achieving this higher expectation. If we work together, we can take pride in every school. I don't just believe this because I am an optimist. I know this because success is already happening across the district. Let me highlight for you some of them. From the IB program, here are Wilson. Gabriel Trevino is exceeding high expectation. Gabriel is studying at Harvard University, which accepts fewer than 7% of all students who apply. And he is near the top of his elite class, earning a nearly perfect GPA. Gabriel said that some of his high school courses were a challenge as his freshman courses at Harvard. Here's what he said, that the courses that he took here at Wilson were more challenging than the courses that he's taken at Harvard.
You're listening right now to a live presentation of the 2012 State of Our Schools presentation at Wilson Commencement Academy.
School 25 north of Goodman Street, Nailia loves to read and is helping teach her little sister, who is a first grader. She also loves coming to school. It shows 99% attendance rate. Her mother and her teachers are proud of Nailia for her achievement of her state exams and for being an excellent student. Our East High School student, Paul Conroy and Logan Newman, are meeting high expectation. Mr. Conroy and Mr. Newman are educational entrepreneurs working with local technology companies and community college. They created an optics program that is unique in the nation. is offer East High School students the chance to learn career skills in prescription optics for the eye care industry. They can also learn precision optics, which supply lens technology for a variety of industry. The student can graduate from this program to enter college, start a career in one of these fast-growing fields. Mr. Conroy, Mr. Newman are here tonight. I understand that Gabriel is here tonight. So I believe that Nailia and her mother are here as well. So please stand and let us recognize you. As I said earlier, there are thousands of success stories in our district. Our students are succeeding. However, as I said earlier, we also have many challenges ahead of you and many students that are not. And we will not rest until we improve the educational outcome for all students. As proud as we are of the students, and we are, and they will tell you that we have thousands and thousands of students that are successful in our district. There is no doubt that the Rochester City School District children can meet high expectations. Our challenge is to make every child education a success story. That won't be easy, and it won't happen overnight, but I believe that it will happen if we stay focused on our priorities and work together. I take inspiration from two other Rochester success stories who achieved against the odds. Frederick Douglass reminds us that our work is essential. It is far easier and better to build strong children than it is to repair broken adults. As Susan B. Anthony reminds us, that there is enormous power in persistence. If we set high expectations and work tireless to achieve them, failure is impossible. Putting those quotes together, I will remind you tonight that success is imperative. More than 30,000 children, an entire generation of young people are depending on us. The future of our community depends on them. We must work tireless to help them achieve and succeed in our school. Just as Frederick Douglass worked for freedom and Susan B. Anthony worked for women's rights, we must work for our children. No calling could be more important. No success could be more rewarding. And through our challenges are many. I can tell you tonight, the state of our school is full of promise. We have talented teachers and staff who are dedicated to our students. Our administrators are accountable for helping them succeed. Many partners are joining us to create a community of high expectation. Together, we share the honors and the awesome responsibility of serving our wonderful group of young people. God bless the Rochester City School District, and thank you for being here tonight.
You've been listening to a special presentation of the 2012 State of Our Schools Address, delivered by Interim Rochester City School Superintendent Dr. Borhan Vargas. And tomorrow, Dr. Vargas will be appearing on WXXI's 1370 Connection. It's beginning at noon on WXXI AM 1370. He'll be taking listener calls. And then at 1 o'clock, he'll be taking your questions online. So you can join that chat by going to WXXINews.org. I'm Helen B. in duty, wishing you a good night. And we return you now to regular programming already in progress.